Guy Thomas, I'm pastor of Southside Baptist Church. I'm going to ask all of them to stand up if they would. Everybody from Southside here, I appreciate them so very much and their willingness to go on mission. And we appreciate them. I've been at Southside about 7 years, and we're in Fulton, Missouri, and our claim to fame there in Fulton, Missouri is Churchill gave the Iron Curtain speech there. Way back when, Harry Truman brought him over, and he gave that speech. And we also have 5 prisons there, and we have a nuclear plant, but we have Southside Baptist Church, and we're right there trying to share the gospel with people there in Callaway County. And it's just been a blessing for us to get to come to Minnesota. We went to Wisconsin last year and helped do a mission trip there at Hope Community Church in Racine, Wisconsin. And this year we had the privilege of coming to help you all, and we got acquainted with Leo, and we had some connection there with Sarah. She was baptized when she was in teaching school there in Fulton at Southside Baptist. So we had a little connection there and kind of developed that a little bit. But I'm glad you're here this morning to worship the Lord. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. You know, I believe that. I believe if we put God first, everything else is going to work out in the right order, at the right proportion, at the right time. And if we just remember to put the Lord first. I heard about this guy. Was got him a job mowing a cemetery. And he was mowing along, and he saw this one stone that had a whole bunch of writing on it. And so he swung his mower over by that stone, and written on that stone was this. It said, pause now, stranger, as you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you will be, so prepare yourself to follow me. And the guy got to thinking about that as he was mowing, and so he went over by his pickup truck, got a magic marker, and he went back to that stone, and he wrote beneath it. And he said, as I am now, you were, I see. As you are now, I know I'll be. But to follow you, I'll not be content till I find out which way you went. And you know, all of us are headed in one of two directions this morning. We're either headed for heaven or we're headed for hell. And what we do with Jesus Christ will determine our future destiny. Jesus paid the price on the cross by shedding His own blood, and God raised Him from the dead that we might have eternal life. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I want to start with that as you open your Bible to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and I want to preach for a few moments on Noah, the culture warrior. Noah, the culture warrior. Genesis chapter 6, if you have your Bible, stand with me. I'm going to read the text and you follow along. If you don't have your Bible, listen carefully. The Bible says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Heavenly Father, we just ask that You'll bless our hearts today by Your precious Word. We know, Lord, Your Word never returns void. And so today I'm depending on Your Word today, dear Lord, because I have no ability in myself other that You have called me and the Holy Spirit is within me. But Lord, we depend upon You. And so we ask, Lord, that You will do a work in every person's heart here. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. Lord, help them to be drawn to Christ. And we ask, dear Lord, that You would open their hearts to the gospel. Thank You, Lord, for the Elliots and what they're doing there in Pakistan. Continue to bless their work and bless their family and give them the blessings they need. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the story of the great flood that covered the earth and destroyed man in God's judgment has a lot of things going on today. You can get on the Discovery Channel and, you know, they talk about the earth being billions of years old and they bypass and kind of laugh off the flood that the Bible tells us about. And some are stirred continually that the flood was just a myth and they're stirred in disbelief. But you know, Jesus believed in the flood. Jesus believed in Noah. So if you reject what the Bible says about the flood, you're probably rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ too. Because He told about in His return is going to be like the days of Noah. Over in Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39, it says, "As in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." So we should be stirred when we hear the message of the flood and when we study it, because it has a lot of application to our day. If you look at the days that was going on in Noah, it's comparable to our days. And we're going to look at some of those things today. Noah was able to stand in his day. Even though everyone else was standing against him, he stood firm. And you know, we're living in a culture today where it just seems like the culture is absorbing everything. And anything that stands for God is to be put down. But friends, we need to stand for righteousness. The Bible tells us that a nation that stands for righteousness, God will bless. And we need to continue to stand for the Lord in your school, at your work, in your everyday life. And Noah is a good example how we can be a culture warrior. Well, first of all, the corruption in Noah's day, there had been a spiritual departure. We see in the text there the fallen angels. There's two views here, that fallen angels had mated with the daughters of men and they're become a super race. The other interpretation is that Cain's descendants, the daughters of men in chapter 4, married Seth's descendants, the sons of God. Either way you look at that, the bottom line is man stopped following God. Either way you want to look at it, man stopped following God. And friends, you just don't wake up one morning with a wrecked life. You don't wake up one morning with a wrecked marriage. You don't wake up one morning with an enslaving habit. You don't wake up one morning with an immoral lifestyle. These things always have a slippery slope. And it comes from not following God. It comes from departing from the Lord. And that's what happened here. There was a spiritual departure. And it was a shameless depravity in verse 5. All evil starts in the mind. And you look there in the verse, it says that they did every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And friends, that's where it all starts, is in our mind. Do you struggle with ungodly thoughts? You know, Satan doesn't have any new tricks or new devices. He uses the same old thing over and over again on us. And we look at evil in our day and look at all of the cunning devices that he's used. Evil, just like this verse says, evil continually. We look at child abuse in our day. We look at murders in our day. We look at abortion in our day, murder of innocent children. We look at all of this evil continually. Did you ever wonder about what happens to all these people that are disappearing? I mean, almost every time you turn on the news, somebody has disappeared, and they'll show their name. Friends, this is the evil of our day, the wickedness of murder. Sexual perversion in our day, human trafficking. These are things that are not new, but they come from the same place that happened in Noah, before Noah's time, and in Noah's time, this thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17 that man's heart is wicked and it's evil. And friend, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot have a clean heart. We look at all this evil today. Proverbs 4 tells us to guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. What captivates our minds and dictates our actions? Friends, we got to think about that this morning. What is controlling our minds and our actions? Hopefully it's the Lord. This is what makes pornography so wicked in our day. Standing up against pornography. And friends, I want to challenge you. This is a dangerous thing that's going on among our young people and among all ages of people. Remember, you sow a thought, you reap an act. You sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, and you reap a destiny. And this is what's happening in our day and time. So there's been a spiritual departure. It all begins with the thoughts. The Bible tells us that we're to think on good things. Over in Philippians 4 and verse 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." What's your mind focused on today, my friend? The similarities of Noah's day are overwhelming. Jesus believed the flood and compared it to the time before His return. This is the day in which we're living. There were three major attitudes of Noah's day. One of them was indifference. Indifference or apathy. People just not caring a whole lot about anything. And we see that going on in our day and time. We also see people having this apathy toward God and toward life. Then they have a business as usual attitude. Just business as usual. We're just going on about our life. We're not bothering anyone. And we don't want anyone to bother us. Just going on about life. And then there are the scoffers. Scoffers about the things of God. Scoffers about the Lord's return. They scoffed at Noah. They scoffed at Noah building an ark. Why had it never rained before? Noah, you must be a madman. Building a ship all that distance from a body of water. It had never been a cloud in the sky because the Bible tells us the earth was watered by this mist that came up every night. Someone liked dew, only more. But we see the same kind of mocking in our day. There's mocking in every kind of institution of our land. But the Bible tells us that this mocking would happen. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 and following, it says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Friends, they scoffed then, they scoffed now, but the same judgment is coming. That's why we need to look at Noah. He stood against the culture of his day. And regardless of corruption or our culture, we can be a warrior for Christ if we follow Noah. Notice in second thing, Noah was committed to following God. Genesis 6:8, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that good news? He was warned of God. We're told in Hebrews 11:7 that he was warned of God as of things that were not seen yet. You know, it's important to be in the Bible. It's important to be in the Bible. The Bible helps form your worldview. The Bible helps form how you really live and how you interact with other people. I've made it a habit over the years to read a proverb a day. Along with my other Bible reading, I read whatever day it is, I read that proverb. And you know, it blesses my heart. Proverbs will guide you and help you in dealing with people. In fact, if you're like me, I have more trouble with people than I do anything else. And so I need the guidance of the Bible to help me interact with people. And the Proverbs will help you do that. And it helps to warn you. And the Bible warns us about these things. Noah listened to God, but he also listened to the people that had been before him. Noah was 500 when his sons was born. And he listened to the men of faith before him. And it's important for us to not only listen to the Word of God, but listen to other people of faith. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Notice that Noah began to walk with God in verse 9. And it's the same today. We need to listen to the Word of God, but we also need to listen to others who have walked before us, who walked with Christ. You know, every family can find someone in their family that pointed them to Jesus. Recently, I went back to my great-grandfather, visited my great-grandfather's grave. And I was amazed to find out that where his grave's at, there's a church there called Willis Chapel. My great-grandfather's name was Henry Willis, and he built that church. I didn't really know that, and I began to study some about my history. And he gave the land for other churches in the community. And he helped start William Jewell College in Liberty. I didn't know that. But, you know, there's somebody in every person's family that pointed him to Jesus. But you got to be careful, because there's other people that pointed you away from the other direction. You know, just like the guy mowing the cemetery. He wanted to find out which way they went. And we need to find that out. Let me ask you, the Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. When did you receive Jesus Christ? How has that changed your life? Noah continued to walk with God. You don't just receive Jesus by faith, you continue to walk with Him in faith. In fact, the Scripture affirms this. Over in Colossians, we see in chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So we need to walk with the Lord. How do we walk with the Lord? We spend time with Him daily in His Word, and with His people. We faithfully attend church service. We make connections in Bible study, and we do our very best to lift up the Lord in our life. Ask yourself this morning, what are some of the steps that I need to take to have a closer walk with the Lord? What are some of the steps you need to take? Well, Noah was also committed in the work of the Lord. In verses 14 through 21 of chapter 6 that we didn't read, Noah was busy and committed in the work of the Lord. There's no evidence in the Bible that Noah was a shipbuilder or a carpenter before he started working on the ark. In fact, his daddy was a warrior, and his cousins and brothers were warriors. But Noah turned out to be a worker for God, a builder. Hebrews 11:7, as I read earlier, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Friend, the best way for you to be a culture warrior is to see that your family is saved. That's the most important work you have. Seeing your family knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Not only your children, but your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. The best thing you could do is make a life around the work of God, because that's where eternity is going to be focused. Jesus calls a man a fool in Luke 12:20. He says, "This night your soul shall be required of thee." Now this man was a successful businessman. He was building barns and bigger barns and tearing them down. But Jesus said, "You're a fool." Eternity is what we should be planning for. The important work is seeing your family saved. In 3 John verse 4, he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Friends, that's the most important thing. Noah committed to the work of God. He built an ark for the saving of his family. But he was also committed to witnessing for the Lord in an adverse culture. Are you witnessing for the Lord, or are you just leaving everybody else alone? You know, we've got to be bold in our witnessing. 2 Peter 2, 4 and 5 says, "For God spared not the angels that sinned against, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, a preacher of righteousness." He saved Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Noah witnessed to all of this generation. In Acts 1:8, we're called to be a witness. Let me ask you, how do you witness? Well, a lot of people say, you know, "I just don't really say nothing to anybody. I just try to live my life before them." But friends, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to speak forth a witness at some point. Living our lives for the Lord is important. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify Him." But we also need to be telling our own story. Paul was a famous orator and a very good speaker. He had command of many languages and could stand before any intellectual crowd that he wanted to. But you know what he did whenever he stood? He gave his testimony. Even before Felix and Caesar, he gave his testimony of how Jesus saved him. Every one of us has a testimony today, either for or against Christ. We need to be a witness today, sharing what we know. And then notice also, we need to be faithful to the local church. Faithful to the local church. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching." So much more as you see the day approaching. You ever notice that churches are having less and less services? I don't know what's happening in Missouri. Churches are calling off church. You know, we've got a guy that goes into Jeff City, to a big church in Jeff City. Every time they call off, he comes to our church because we don't ever call off. Whatever time is on our sign, we're there. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. This guy's been showing up a lot lately. I said, what's going on? Well, they call off Sunday night for Mother's Day. You know, mothers need to be honored. They call off church on Sunday night for Father's Day. Fathers need to be honored. They call off church on Christmas. Don't have it then because, you know, we got to honor our family. We're just calling off church for everything. And to find a church that has a prayer meeting these days is almost as scarce as hen's teeth. You have to be from the country to know what that means. Scarce as hen's teeth. To find a church that actually focuses on a meeting of prayer. Now we tack it on before and we tack it on at the end, but where's the prayer meeting? When I read the book of Acts, I find that that church met all the time in prayer. I find that Jesus said when the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, my house shall be a what? A house of prayer. But we've forsaken that. I challenge you today to think about it. Are we faithful in the local church? We ought to be having more and more and more, not less and less and less, as we see the day approaching. The same day that Noah saw approaching is coming to us. We need to be ready. Notice verse 22, the last verse. It says in that chapter, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Thus Noah did. How will you respond to God in this culture? Will you take up the mantle of Noah? Will you take up the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to march through the culture, not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ? We're going to be challenged this week because we're going to get out there and do stuff that everybody says don't work anymore. You can't go door to door. Well, Jehovah Witnesses do it all the time. You know, Mormons are out there doing it. We have the Holy Spirit within us. You know, we can do this. And I tell you, it still works. It still works. But the devil will make us afraid if he can. The devil will pull us, fear on us, as Brother Elliot says, if we let him. The greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, at this invitation, Lord, call those that need to be functioning as a culture warrior. And that's all of us. Lord, forgive us where we failed you. Lord, draw us near. Give us a burden for our lost relatives and friends. Lord, that we might begin to pray for them and have our prayer list handy and ready. Lord, draw us to a place of commitment, to where we'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and let you add the things that need to be added and take out the things that need to be taken out that are really hurting us. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, help us to be building an ark for our family so that they'll know Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that empty tomb. Thank you for your presence with us today. We ask that you'll bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.